case number 10-1022, Honeywell International, Inc., petitioner versus Nuclear Regulatory Commission et al. Mr. Smith for petitioner, Mr. Rader for respondents.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Tyson Smith. I'm counsel for petitioner Honeywell International. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal, please. This case involves a decision by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to deny a license amendment that would have permitted Honeywell International to continue to use the self-guarantee method of decommissioning funding, which it has used since 1994. The NRC denied the amendment without explanation, despite having twice granted the amendment previously. Under similar circumstances.
Well, it gave an explanation. You don't think it was adequate?
I do not believe it was adequate. I actually don't believe it qualifies as an explanation.
Oh, all right.
Just noting factual information that is self-evident is not a reasoned explanation on the record for denying an amendment in this situation.
Is that right? I mean, the Supreme Court in the Acheson case suggests that maybe it is, right? If it's clear what the inferences are to be drawn and clear here that circumstances had changed and the value of the tangible assets had decreased precipitously. Why under Acheson? I think it's called Acheson-Topeka Railroad.
Correct. You certainly cannot draw an inference from that in this case. There is no information on the record linking declining tangible net worth to poor financial performance. In fact, there's substantial...
The whole inquiry starts with tangible net assets, right? I mean, when the NRC first created a regime by which to determine whether there was sufficient safeguards, it was tangible net assets that was the baseline for the inquiry. They've created exemptions from that, but can you say that tangible net assets have no relationship to the ultimate inquiry?
Yes. There is no evidence in the record or in any of the rulemaking history to link tangible net worth to as an effective indicator of financial performance, particularly for a multi-industry conglomerate such as Honeywell. We have provided information on the record showing that,
when
for instance,
you say no indication of financial performance. What do you mean here?
Well,
I mean that's not what the NRC was focusing on, is it?
Well, it is, and to some degree, the NRC was focusing on two factors: ability to pay under times under
right.
normal times, and ability to pay in times of financial distress.
Right.
And for the latter, it was looking at the ratio of assets to liabilities. In particular, the NRC, as a starting point, was looking at the asset of tangible net worth.
That's always been a factor, right?
Historically,
correct. That's always been a factor. And you're saying that's irrational that that's a factor because that has no relationship to the purpose for the regulation?
Not in light of the evidence that's on the record. So tangible net worth is an artifact of it's an accounting formula. It's a simple formula. Tangible net worth equals shareholder equity, which is the value of outstanding shares minus intangible assets. So if you increase your intangible assets, which is a good thing, you're going to drive down your tangible net worth. If you decrease your shareholder equity, for instance, by buying back stock, you're also going to decrease your tangible net worth. And both of those are what happened at Honeywell here. For instance, over the relevant period, Honeywell has a net worth in excess of $5 billion. It has intangible assets of goodwill close to $10 billion. Honeywell has assets in the United States of over $20 billion. Yet the NRC is focusing only on this one measure, tangible net worth, that actually bears no relationship to the purpose of the regulation, which is to ensure that funds are available for decommissioning, or to the financial performance of Honeywell, which is evidenced by these other factors we mentioned. The minimum tangible net worth criteria was initially created to address situations where the asset being decommissioned itself was the primary cash-generating asset. For instance, if you have a landfill that you're using to generate money and you're going to decommission it, well, it's no longer going to be available to generate money. Same with a power-generating asset. If you're going to decommission that, it's not going to be generating power, you're not going to be creating new cash. You want to make sure that the money is available to complete the decommissioning. Here, Honeywell provide evidence showing that Metropolis is a very small piece of Honeywell's overall net worth, and in fact, Honeywell has free cash flow in excess of $2 or $3 billion a year over the relevant period.
Can I just go back where Judge Griffith was, I think, and that is the NRC, because of its concern about the availability to pay for decommissioning, has this tangible net worth 1-to-10 ratio. Mm-hmm. So it's always been focusing on tangible net worth, right?
It has. And we, Honeywell, requested a license amendment to apply this alternate test. The NRC agreed with us once, agreed with us again.
But even there, tangible net worth was a factor, right? When you went and asked for an exemption, I don't think you made the argument, forget the whole idea of tangible net worth, let's just look at goodwill and other things. I mean, it was part of the formula. You just didn't. I thought you were just telling them don't place as much emphasis on that part of the formula under these special circumstances. Am I wrong?
I think perhaps we're mixing two things here. First, the NRC's 10-to-1 ratio looked at tangible assets, not tangible net worth. And in fact, tangible net worth and tangible assets are not related. Those cannot be. There's no corresponding ratio between those. So the NRC was looking at tangible assets. And we said you should also be able to look at intangible assets, such as goodwill. And that's where the NRC agreed with us in calculating that ratio. So certainly the NRC agreed that intangible assets can be used.
It agreed with you, but it wasn't just looking at intangible assets when it agreed with you.
The NRC allowed Honeywell to consider both its tangible assets and its intangible assets in calculating the financial ratio.
And all I'm saying, and maybe I didn't make it clear, and I apologize for that, was that is it irrational? NRC gave an explanation that the tangible part of the equation had gone down. That factor had dropped precipitously.
Honeywell has always had tangible assets in excess of $4 billion. It has not had a tangible net worth in excess of
The net worth, as I look at it, goes from $8.4 billion down to $4.9 billion. That's a pretty big drop. Why can't the NRC take notice of that and say, change circumstance?
That's not what they did here. Perhaps they could have. And that's exactly what we're looking for, is an explanation on the record for why they denied it in 2009.
If we were to agree with you, I'm interested in what relief you're looking for. I mean, I know you're asking that we grant the exemption. Let's imagine we aren't willing to go that far. What would we do then?
Well, certainly I'm not asking you to grant the exemption. What we would really like is an explanation on the record for why the NRC denied the amendment.
Send it back to the NRC to...
We should have notice of and an opportunity of the criteria that the agency is going to apply so that we can provide them with information to address their concerns. That is, at a minimum, what we'd like.
But let me ask you, you did have the opportunity to submit additional evidence.
We did.
That's right. And presumably that was in response to some indication by staff that they wanted particular information.
They did not give us an indication of any particular information they wanted. They indicated they were considering denying it because they found it unpersuasive, which is the same reason they gave, if you can call it a reason, in their denial letter. And at the time, we said, well, what's your basis? And we provided substantial information showing that tangible net worth is not an accurate criteria to apply here, that Honeywell has strong financial performance, and
so
we have significant assets.
Be clear. When I look at the letter, they give some reasons. You don't think they're adequate, or you don't think they're reasons, because you think they're just clearly erroneous reasons?
Well,
in other words, you're saying they're looking at the decline in tangible net worth, and you're saying that's just a false focus
That's correct. And I would additionally point out, the prior year, Honeywell already had a negative tangible net worth.
But not as great, they say.
But not as great, but we don't have any idea where that line is presumably drawn. Is
no, but the question says this is an exemption, and we're going to look at this every year, and you know, sort of don't rely on it, because new information may come to our attention. That'll cause us to change our mind.
They said only that they would consider comments in the proposed rulemaking, where they've proposed to do just what Honeywell has requested, that they would, in light of comments on the rulemaking, they might change their mind. That is not what they've provided here.
With all due respect, counsel, they said in their very grant that understand this is for a year, and if new information comes to their attention,
I'm looking at the appendix at 266. The NRC says, after public comments are received on the proposed rule, additional information may arise.
I agree, it's there. But it's also in, as I recall, it's in the first time they granted it, they said, you know, this is only for a year. And we will re-examine it, you know, if you file for another application. I mean, this wasn't something that would continue.
Well, Honeywell actually initially requested that we be allowed to use the alternate criteria with the understanding we would have to come back and annually perform the test.
Right.
And the NRC opted not to do that, within their discretion, to limit it to 1 year, because they were going to engage in this rulemaking. They initiated a rulemaking, and they are applying the same rationale that they applied to granting Honeywell's license amendment, not once, but twice, that they can consider the intangible asset of goodwill.
Well, they say, you know, I mean, I think this notion of relying on something that's proposed, you know, the commission could decide tomorrow they're not going forward with that.
Could.
But in any event, they say even if we were to adopt our proposed rule as a final rule, your client wouldn't qualify because they have this new $19 million requirement.
Well, we don't believe there's any evidence on the record of either this case or in the rulemaking to justify that $19 million tangible net worth.
But that's, that's a different issue.
Well,
I mean, you were saying that, you know, this is what they've proposed in their rulemaking, and they say that's not what we've proposed. That's my only point.
They proposed X, we proposed X, they proposed X plus another factor.
Right.
So that is correct.
All right.
Just to make sure that I understand your argument, it seems to me that the ratio, as I understood it, has always looked at net worth and not assets, correct?
The ratio has actually looked at tangible net worth.
Now,
tangible net worth. But if you were to look at...
And not tangible assets, is that...
I'm sorry, the ratio looked at tangible assets. I apologize.
Well, but see, now, I had read it as saying, you know, and in fact on 266 it says, to meet the 10-to-1 ratio of tangible net worth to decommissioning obligation. So I thought that ratio was always tangible net worth, not tangible assets. So I hear you to be saying something different than I thought you said in your briefing. So I just want to understand what your argument really is.
The actual test that you apply addresses both net worth. You're correct. Tangible net worth plus the intangible asset.
All right. Let
you.
Us hear counsel for respondent here.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Robert Rader. I represent the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. With me at table today is the NRC Solicitor, John Cortes. To answer Judge Brown's question immediately, the test is stated in our regulation, Part 30, Appendix C, Part Roman 2. Part capital A, small 1, states tangible net worth at least 10 times the total current decommissioning cost. So it's tangible net worth, not net worth, not tangible assets or other things that counsel may have misstated.
What I understood the brief to be arguing was that in the prior two grants of exemption, The commission had looked at tangible net assets, it looked at intangible net assets, it looked at bond rating, and it said this combination is sufficient to satisfy us that an exemption should be granted. And it basically did the same thing the second time, even though at that point Honeywell had a negative net tangible assets, $1 billion
net. Tangible net worth, yes.
Right. Tangible net worth.
Yes, Your Honor.
Then when they came for the third, the only focus was on the continued decline of Honeywell's tangible net worth, that these other factors that the commission had previously considered were not factored in.
I would agree with you, Your Honor, that they were not specifically recited in the decision, but I would submit that they were considered. I would ask the court to consider.
How do we know that? Yeah. How do we know that if they were?
Because if you'll look at our appendix, page 449, Your Honor, you'll see the decision, and you will see that the commission there recites its previous rulings. Mm-hmm. In reciting the previous rulings, the NRC is, by inference, clearly reevaluating what it has previously looked at.
And so you're asking us to read this as saying, well, we no longer think your bond rating, we no longer think your goodwill should be considered?
Not that they shouldn't be considered, but they're not nearly persuasive in light of the change of financial circumstances. I would direct Your Honor's attention to page 450 of our appendix, which is page 2 of the decision, the second full paragraph, which begins to discuss the second exemption requested and its grant. And in mid-paragraph, Your Honors, the NRC states, however, since that time, referring to the grant of the second exemption, since that time, Honeywell's tangible net worth has continued to decline. So the NRC is...
I have a question about that.
Yes.
And they very clearly focus on that. And all I'm trying to understand is, I thought the argument that counsel was making in his brief was that previously the commission had considered a combination of factors, and now in denying the third request it has really only focused on the declining tangible net worth, and that in fact the value of the company, however that's calculated, is much greater.
We need to focus directly upon the exemption request. The exemption request is asking that the commission allow goodwill, an intangible asset, to be substituted for tangible net worth required by the rule. The focus of the rule has always been on tangible net worth at least 10 times the current decommissioning cost estimate. That's the commission's focus. That is the requirement of the rule. Honeywell said back in 2007, again in 2008, there are other factors that you should consider that justify exempting us
and
from this
agreed.
Requirement.
And you agreed.
And we agreed with that.
Yeah.
And in 2000...
So it isn't the case that tangible net worth has been the be-all to end-all. That's not the end of the inquiry.
It is the rule, but it is the rule, Your Honor.
It's the rule. What does that mean? So what? It's not the end of the inquiry, right? It's a factor.
It's more than a factor, Your Honor. It's the rule from which they're seeking an exemption. Honeywell asked us to consider other things that are not in the rule.
And you did.
We did consider
them. When you did that, was that inconsistent with the rule? Were you violating the law?
No,
it's a perfectly legitimate part of the inquiry.
It was, Your Honor, and it was a matter of regulatory discretion to allow for that period, given that financial...
What changed? Why were you looking at three factors before and... only one factor later? Why didn't you explain it?
Your Honor, as you pointed out...
That's all they're asking for, right, is an explanation.
I understand, Your Honor. And as this Court said in FAA versus Hudson, with regard to an informal adjudication such as this, the agency simply must provide the Court with a basic understanding of its reasons and not a very detailed statement at that. Your Honor also alluded to the decision of the Supreme Court in State Farm, where the court said that as long as the regulatory analysis is reasonably discernible. Here it is reasonably discernible.
So tell me what it is. If it's reasonably discernible, what is it?
Although
why was the exemption?
Although Honeywell has stated that it has intangible assets, which in its opinion compensate for the lack of tangible net worth at least 10 times the current decommissioning cost estimate. And we agreed with that on the basis of financial data in 2007 and 2008. In 2009, the financial data has changed dramatically. We are focused on tangible net worth. The tangible net worth of the company declined from $70 million to $1.4 negative to $5.2 negative in 2007. It's reasonably discernible that the Commission said that decline in tangible net worth, which is the focus of the regulation, is no longer acceptable, even though you say you have other compensating factors. The other compensating factors are not a substitute for the rule. We do have a new rule pending.
Here's what I understood to be the argument. The rule is tangible net assets.
No, ma'am, tangible net worth.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry, tangible, but it's very specific.
I started this. I apologize.
Yes, tangible net worth.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. But it says you can get an exemption from that.
An exemption is available from any regulation. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So that's no longer necessarily what's relevant.
It's always relevant because it's the regulation, Your Honor.
No, but if you have a regulation that says A and an exemption that says not A, A is no longer controlling. And the Commission's action in the past was consistent with that.
Your Honor, that would amount to a de facto change in the regulation. That is not what we did. We looked at factors which Honeywell cited, which they claimed would compensate for what is required in a regulation. Any applicant or licensee has the freedom to come up with whatever reasons they deem valid as a basis for asking for the exemption. It didn't have to be intangibles of goodwill. It could have been any other financial reason they justified. And we can consider that, but it doesn't mean that that substitutes for the rule and becomes a de facto rule by which we consider their application. The rule is still requiring tangible net worth at least 10 times the current decommissioning cost.
We may just be two ships passing in the night here. I don't think, at least I'm not disagreeing with your interpretation at all. And I'm not suggesting that I found persuasive the notion that because you've done it twice before, there was some rule that you had to do it a third time. But rather that twice before the Commission had indicated other things could be taken into account, even when there was a negative tangible net worth. And now you're saying those other things cannot be taken into account because the tangible net worth has continued to decline so greatly.
No, I'm not saying they can't be taken into account. I'm saying that they were inferentially considered because of the recitation of the previous materials, but the Commission found it non-persuasive given...
What's the threshold? So obviously $1.45 billion in the hole is fine. Get the exemption for that because you've got a net worth of $7.7 billion. You're saying negative $5.265 billion is too much. When did they cross the threshold?
But that's exactly the point, Your Honor. There is no threshold. There is no bright light. This is an exemption. This is a matter of regulatory grace, regulatory leniency telling the...
No, but you have to be rational in your explanation for it, right? I mean, it's a matter of grace,
yes,
perhaps.
But there can... If there were a bright line suggesting that now you qualify for the exemption, whereas before you didn't, that would be in the nature of a regulation. That's what regulations do. That's what this says. If you look at the regulation here, tangible net worth at least 10 times the current decommissioning cost estimate, I can give you a number for that. That number is $1.5 billion because I know the cost of decommissioning estimated by Honeywell is $159 million. 10 times that is $1.59 billion. So I can give Your Honor a bright line number for that. That's in our regulations. But by nature of asking for an exemption, one is asking for regulatory leniency, which has no bright line. And the commission said here there was a continuing decline. We don't believe that, although you have cited these.
I understand that it's leniency, but it has to be rational. And I'm trying to understand what the rational. It's declined. No question it's declined. It's declined precipitously. No question it's declined precipitously. But at what point does a precipitous decline change your analysis? It didn't when it went from 70 million plus to 1.4 billion negative. Now it's somewhere below that and it's dropping. I'm just trying to understand what was it? Is it what changed things?
Well,
just more decline?
It's a matter of judgment and regulatory. It's a matter of degree.
Explain
and
the
regulatory
judgment to me. That's what I'm getting at. Explain the judgment.
The NRC has to determine whether or not the decline is so great that it threatens compliance with the underlying regulatory objective assuring financial assurance for the decommissioning of the facility, where the NRC's regulations require tangible net worth of $1.5 billion versus a negative net worth of $5.2 billion. It is a matter of degree and judgment as to whether or not those numbers make sense in terms of granting this exemption a third time. And the NRC did give its reasons, contrary to the comments of counsel. It said on page 3 of the decision, as stated above, Honeywell had a negative net worth of $5.265 billion. Honeywell neither meets the current regulations nor the proposed regulations. And based on the above, and that's important, based on the above, the exemption was denied.
Well, there are two as stated above.
Yes, both reasons, Your Honor.
Yes, and the first reason was negative net worth, tangible net worth continued to decline.
And equals $5.265 billion.
And equals 5.26. And that's all that paragraph says.
Yes, Your Honor, it's directly responsive to the regulation. The regulation requires a tangible net worth of at least 10 times the total current decommissioning cost.
Any further questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Counsel for petitioner.
The NRC attempts to paint Honeywell's declining tangible net worth as though it's irrefutable evidence of poor performance, poor financial performance. This is nothing more than the post hoc rationalization of counsel. There's no support on the record for the NRC's position. The NRC's basis is simply arbitrary in light of this evidence. The NRC can't, on one year, accept goodwill and then decline to accept it the following year without explaining why. The NRC didn't address either of the two criteria it applied previously. It didn't acknowledge that it was changing the criteria that it applied. It didn't explain why goodwill couldn't be considered in evaluating ability to pay in times of financial distress. For these reasons, the NRC decision was arbitrary and should be vacated. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.